Welcome to Columbia City Council Special Council Session, Special Meeting of April 14th, 2023. Sheila, will you please call roll?
Ms. Wehner?
Here.
Mr. Lovelady?
Here.
Mr. Foster?
Here.
Mr. Pitzer?
Here.
Ms. Peters?
Here.
Ms. Buffalo?
Here.
Ms. Fowler?
Here.
All right, up on our agenda first is the declaration of the election results. Sheila, will you please read R5623?
Council Bill 5623 is a resolution declaring the results of the April 4, 2023 municipal election and special election to impose an additional sales tax of 3% on the retail sale of adult use marijuana. First reading.
Okay.
It's the municipal election and the retail sale declaration.
Okay, together. I was like, what? Mm-hmm. All right. So the resolution is election results. They're primarily done for historical and record keeping purposes. So just to explain that. Sheila, do you want to call roll on R5623?
Ms. Wehner?
Yes.
Mr. Lovelady?
Yes.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
Mr. Pitzer?
Yes.
Ms. Peters?
Yes.
Ms. Buffalo?
Yes.
Ms. Fowler?
Yes.
All right, up next is our comments of our outgoing council members. So Pat Fowler, our outgoing first ward council member, would you like to make comments?
I would like to make comments. Thank you, Mayor. I want to thank everyone for being here this evening. We have special guests with us today. Sitting in the front row are members of Barbara Jefferson's family, her brother Henry and her sister-in-law, Jackie. I hope that after the meeting, we can make them feel welcome. Our hearts are broken over the passing of Barbara this past Thursday. More about Barbara in a bit. I'm grateful for the messages I received from each of you asking about my stepmom, Diane. We know that we are in God's waiting room, and that is often a place of conflicting emotions and energy-draining days. Welcome to our new council members, Nick and Don. You are about to embark upon what I found to be the most difficult, most community-focused work I have done in my life. If we want our city and our wards to be the best they can be, we must be ready, willing, and able to dig in and challenge the entrenched status quo mindset of this is the way we've always done it. Because this is the way we've always done it has resulted in long-standing social, economic, and racial inequities in our community. Daily life for many of our residents is one of struggle. To find housing, to find work, to get to work, to pay utilities, to put food on the table. During the 4 years that I worked at the University Service Learning Office as their coordinator, I had the opportunity to work with city staff, particularly the Office of Neighborhood Services, the Department of Water and Light, the Health Department, and the City Manager's Office. Dozens of students rotated through their community projects, installing weatherization materials, helping people lower their utility bills, doing home repairs. City staff and I rarely had anything to disagree about. It was a mutually beneficial relationship. We got along well, and staff appreciated my efforts, and I appreciated our conversations and partnerships. I had the luxury of attending all kinds of meetings all over the city during the business day because it was part of my official responsibilities of my day job. One of those regular meetings was the Basic Needs Coalition. It was at one of those meetings that I was struck with the harsh reality about our city. I was standing in the conference room at the health department with city staff and other not-for-profit leaders, and I asked, when do we address the root causes of poverty and why our community members struggle from a lack of resources? That's not our job, was the reply. That's not our job. Well, crap, I thought, whose job is it? Fast forward 13 years later, I'm no longer working at MU. I have a different job that requires me to travel out of town. Mayor Treese and Councilmember Peters both urged me to run for council, each of them telling me that because I attended so many city meetings, even with my traveling some distance to my job, my working across the state would not be an issue. As long as I fulfilled my job responsibilities, my employer was cooperative and supported, so I jumped at the opportunity. Remember my question about when do we address the root causes of poverty and why our community members struggle from a lack of resources? The answer, that's not our job, I heard 13 years earlier, came roaring back to me as I campaigned for and was subsequently elected as the First Ward representative. The First Ward has long been under-resourced. Its residents have some of the lowest incomes in our city, and many of the homes in the ward have long-standing deferred maintenance neglect. Many of the businesses and residential properties are owned by investors who either live in other wards or live outside our city. I started to listen with different ears to First Ward residents who trusted me enough to tell me their lived experiences. Through their patience and willingness to be honest with me, I began to understand how racial and economic inequity manifests itself in the First Ward and in Columbia overall. And when I fell short of that understanding, I was soon to hear from Barbara Jefferson. Barbara was a 70-year-old black woman from the Central City who lived in Columbia for more than 50 years. She witnessed the entire trajectory of resident displacement in the First Ward that began with urban renewal and continues today. Barbara recognized that our houses are first and foremost our homes and should not be simply viewed as easy pickings for investors who care little about displacement of residents or destruction of neighborhoods. It was Barbara who insisted the sentence, prioritize historic neighborhoods in growth and development, be part of the Jobs with Justice Neighborhood Housing Pledge. As a member of the Housing and Community Development Commission, she asked tough questions, pointed out the failings with how we designed its annual survey, and when she saw how few residents responded to that survey, she got a big stack of them and went door to door in the First Ward collecting responses. It was Barbara who showed us where and how black-led organizations were being disregarded in city decision-making, with the ARPA funding as a specific example of that. We have been provided once-in-a-lifetime $25 million. How we spend that money and who will ultimately benefit from it will speak volumes about who we care about and who we do not care about in our community. Barbara worked as a registered nurse, so she got both the bigger and the smaller picture of how physical and emotional stress created by poverty and racism grinds down lives and chips away at souls. In the days after her death, I have heard story upon story of how Barbara urged each of us to work harder, to do better, to open our eyes to the legacy of racial and economic disparity that persists. And she always told each of us that she was praying for our success in our respective roles to make Columbia a better place for everyone. And as I work to better understand, I think I disappointed Barbara a lot. Yet she still sent me messages of care and compassion. Every text and email she sent always ended with, God bless. I think a lot about how much internal resilience and courage it took for Barbara to walk through these council chamber doors and come to the microphone week after week, month after month, year after year. In a political system that is constructed to isolate and marginalize the voices it does not agree with, Barbara Jefferson's actions stood out. Many of you in the audience tonight helped me answer the question about when do we address the root causes of poverty. The answer is now, immediately. You were clear that it was not okay for me to argue against the passage of an ordinance and then vote with the majority. Sometimes I muddled my words, yet I kept working and pushing because the First Ward was clear with me and Barbara Jefferson was clear with me that was what was expected of me as the ward representative. The pointed questions that residents have asked have been labeled as criticism, bickering, or arguing. Pushing for data to make informed decisions is not about attacking staff. It's about helping those we've left behind catch up. Whether we call it transparency or understandability, citizens are entitled to know upfront how city council and city staff decisions will affect them. I acknowledge that my day-to-day relationships with city staff and my fellow council members are often strained. I understand we each have different pressures and different expectations. The struggle for achieving equity is long and difficult. We must think about who we leave behind, about the potential talent we lose as a consequence of how we perceive others, how we fund our city services, and public safety. Whether it's addressing community violence, poverty, homelessness, mental health, the inability to pay one's utility bills, other communities have been willing and able to do this work. We can follow their lead and study their data and compare their data to our own. It takes hard work, it takes courage, and we will stumble and argue with each other. But it's an argument worth having. We've made some progress. We came together around the purchase of the VFW and the expansion of services for our unsheltered. We agreed on the need for additional city revenue, in part so we can pay our employees better. No regular city employee had to forego a city paycheck during the pandemic. And city staff, particularly our health department, navigated that unprecedented stress remarkably. Remarkably. I want to also acknowledge those citizens and community activists who communicated with me and helped deepen my understanding of the problems that confront our residents and how city processes and policies help or exacerbate those problems. Together, we opened the doors to City Hall just a little bit wider for others to walk through. I'm always grateful when someone whose social, racial, or economic life circumstances in Columbia and are different from mine challenge my assumptions and biases as a middle-aged white woman. I appreciated you the most when you argued with me when I was wrong. I was wrong more than a couple of times, most notably when I voted to incorporate Senate Bill 26 into the enabling ordinance for the Citizens Police Review Board. I was so wrong. Genuine civilian oversight benefits the police as much as our residents, as it provides a place to discuss the cloud of police mistrust that has festered for generations. I should have pushed harder for the City Council to vote no, knowing that it would likely result in litigation, because the gutting of civilian oversight needs to be addressed in our courts. Among the issues on the horizon, utility rates, clean water, climate mitigation, transit, accessibility for our persons with disabilities, Fusus surveillance software, short-term rentals, affordable housing, preserving and growing an independent land trust, strengthening neighborhood protections, addressing aging infrastructure, raising wages for city staff. Each of these issues, especially climate change, has the potential to have a disproportionate impact on specific populations in our community. I look forward to once again being an engaged citizen and active neighborhood association person. I look across this room and see where I used to sit and where I will sit once again, laden down with my notebooks and electronic devices. The difference is I will no longer also see Barbara Jefferson in her usual seat, listening and waiting for her moment to come to the microphone to quietly but firmly tell us what we are missing and when we are incorrectly assuming the opportunities for Black, Brown, and poor people are the same as ours. The answer to the question, whose job is it, is this. It's all of ours, city council, city staff, and citizens. Before we develop any policy, before we vote on any ordinance, we, all of us, must challenge our assumptions and examine our consciences about who will be helped and who will be harmed by our decisions. Because the one thing that doesn't abide the status quo is a person's conscience. We can't do everything, but we can each do something. Thank you for the opportunity to serve with you. And I'd like us to make some noise for Barbara so she can hear us from afar. And God bless.
Next go for Councilmember Pitzer. Matt, do you have some remarks?
I do have a few remarks, and thanks for your remarks, Pat. We got to know each other a little bit when I was first elected back in 2017 and worked together these last 3 years, and I appreciate the passion, the dedication that you brought to your work here with the City Council. It's been my honor and privilege to serve the Fifth Ward for the last 6 years. And I truly view it as both an honor and a privilege to play just a little role in helping steer this and direct the city for over that time. Whether it's this job can be frustrating, or it can also be gratifying when you see something that you help play a role in, whether it's filling in a sidewalk, whether it's helping somebody resolve a utilities issue, whether it's seeing a new business come to town. And Columbia is a wonderful community. It's one of those things that I was reminded of and really felt, just this week, these warm spring evenings that we've been having. You're out at Cosmo Park in like every field, every soccer field. There's kids, there's families, the playgrounds are full. And it's just, great to be associated with a community that where you feel that warmth. Of course, the real work in making all that happen is not just, it's not the seven of us at all. It's everybody in this building and working for the city who works hard 7 days a week around the clock. And I'm grateful to the work that every single city employee has put in. And if I didn't say it enough over my 6 years, I'll say it now. Thank you to everybody. Thank you to the firefighters working their 24-hour shift, to police officers responding to somebody's worst day, to anybody who knows how to work on the sewer system, to the health department workers who worked long hours on weekends, to give my kids their COVID boosters. And yes, even the finance guys making sure that there's money to pay for everything. Up here, we get to set the big picture agenda for the city, but we also need to remember to support everybody who's actually doing the work to implement and move that agenda forward. And that seems to be getting harder and harder as there are fewer and fewer people that seem to want to work for the city over these last few years. But that needs to change, and I know that you're all working on that, because without them, nothing is possible. The bus service stops functioning, the trash doesn't get picked up. It just doesn't work without the people. It was also my honor and privilege to serve on the first majority female city council in the city's history, to work with our second female mayor ever. And so thank you to all of my soon to be former fellow council members for putting up with me over this time. We all made our own individual sacrifices, and so I may not know what each one of you has been through or worked on, but I know how much time, effort, and energy all of you put into this. And it's a difficult job in different ways for every one of us, but every one of you who sat up here with me has done the best job that you possibly can, and I thank you for that. When I first thought about running, whether or not I would want to run for a third term, I really did think about whether continuity and my background and knowledge would be helpful or needed. After all, my whole first term, my first 3 years, I was a new guy up here for that whole entire time. But in just a few minutes here, we're going to have 5 new council members with 1 year or less on the job. City manager who's been here 16, 17 months. And so I did think deeply about that. But on the other hand, we have a mayor who knows how the city runs day in and day out because of her background. We have Mike Griggs, he's been around a day or two. Crazy. Sheila could probably run this place in her sleep too. So I'm not really worried about where we're headed. Although, like I say, I will miss working with every one of you. This is, as I was reflecting, you know, I was thinking that this is kind of a funny system that we have, this whole representative democracy that this country was founded on, this idea that we elect people from our community and send them off to make decisions on our behalf. At the federal and state level, that's turned into career and professional politicians. But here at the local level, we're still people who live and work in our neighborhoods, we interact with our constituencies and our communities, and then we show up here on Monday nights, advocate on their behalf, and do the best we can, and then we go back into our worlds and our communities for 2 weeks, and we come back and we do it all over again. In a lot of ways, it's a flawed system, but in a lot of ways, it really is the foundation of democracy. So this was quite a 6 years. I worked with 3 different city managers. Those 6 years sometimes went by in a blink, felt like 6 days, sometimes felt like 60 years. We shut down a city for a pandemic. I didn't exactly campaign on that. But we built an airport. We widened Nifong. We put in a lot of roundabouts. We opened a farmer's market. We put up the first building at the sports field house. We've almost built a fire station. We passed a bond and renewed the park sales tax, each with 80% voter approval. And we restored enough confidence in the city and the city's finances that people voted to add a new tax on themselves with the online sales tax. And we approved roll cards. DeCarlin also knows my list of things that we didn't get done. And there are a few things on it. So you guys will still have your hands full working through a lot of those issues. But I want to thank you for everybody who helped me along the way. I don't imagine ever running for office again. But I do hope that I did a little more good than harm in my time in this seat. So Nick and Don, you guys will do a great job. You can't always do a lot by yourself, but with 4 votes, you can get a lot done from up here. And there is a lot to be done. And though I'm sticking around the city, if anybody needs help, which I'm sure you won't, I'm happy to leave that work in all of yours capable hands from here on. So thank you.
It's time for presentation of gifts to our council. So DeCarlin and Pat, will you please join me at the podium? I'll do the first one. So up first, we have, Pat, we have the resolution of appreciation, which is signed by your fellow council members. Multiple, hi. And up, let's see, where's our... Sorry, microphone's not close enough. As well as you will have a heritage tree will be planted and cared for by Columbia Parks and Rec that's Matt. You will heritage trees the ones that are still living park of your choice. And I know it's going to be a red gosh. Yes. Have the next.
And so from the staff, so first we have a committer.
Miss Tile,
yes, ma'am.
Yes, thank you.
And also, because we know you have affinity for...
Yes.
And so, what we did was, we had a local artist,
oh my goodness,
Dan Hahn, put together a gift box, and in that box is a commemorative brick from one of our streets.
This is awesome.
This is for you.
Oh
so,
my goodness.
So you have the history
thank
of the
you.
City wherever you go.
Thank you. I'm deeply touched by that because bricks are very important.
I know we want a picture of this.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for your time at the city.
Okay, so up first, Matt, you get the you get the huge plaque with all of our signatures, your resolution of appreciation. Let's come over.
I don't
know. I'm short. Get your next plaque on behalf of the Time Serve, as well as your heritage tree in the park of your choice. This one says your name.
All right, thank you.
You want to do the next?
Yes, ma'am. So we also have a retirement towel for you.
Great.
Thanks, and also for a project that I know that has been dear to your heart, Firehouse Number 11.
Oh.
This was also done by Dan Hahn, who's a local artist. Display what it will look like. And so
we
look forward to
seeing
you for the ribbon cutting.
Yeah.
Thank you for your time
Excellent.
With the city.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right. It is now time for the swearing in of our new council members. So I'll please ask Nick Knoth to join Sheila up at the podium. And then do I sit back down? Oh, I stay here. Okay.
I, Nick Knoth,
do solemnly swear
that I possess all qualifications
for the office of
First Ward Council Member
for the City of Columbia, Missouri
that I am not subject
to any of the disqualifications
set forth in the Charter
of the City of Columbia
that I will support the Constitution
and laws of the United States
and of the State of Missouri
and the Charter and Ordinances
of the City of Columbia
and that I will faithfully discharge
the duties of my office
so help me God.
Stand to the side until.
Oh.
Wait, it didn't say that.
Yes, it does. Oh, it does. Just kidding. Next, I'll call Don Waterman to the podium.
I, Donald Waterman,
do solemnly swear
that I possess all qualifications
for the office of
Fifth Ward Council Member
for the City of Columbia, Missouri
that I am not subject
to any of the disqualifications
set forth in the Charter
of the City of Columbia
that I will support the Constitution
and laws of the United States
and of the State of Missouri
and the Charter and Ordinances
And the charter and ordinances.
Of the city of Columbia.
Of the city of Columbia.
And that I will faithfully discharge.
And that I will faithfully discharge.
The duties of my office.
Of my office.
So help me God.
So help me God.
For your seat. Now, everybody can join me on the dais. All right, going on to comments of our newly elected council members. Nick, as first ward representative, would you like to make any comments?
Just briefly. It is a great honor and a privilege to be sworn in today to serve the first ward. I promise to be present and accountable and respectful and honest in pushing for the progress that we all want to see and what we need so badly. Thank you again to the citizens of the first ward for placing your trust in me through this previous election. I promise to do my best and to always be, again, accountable and to listen to you and be wrong sometimes and be honest about that as well. Thanks.
Thank you, Nick. Don, would you like to make any comments?
Again, mine will be brief also. I am honored and humbled to become a member of this body, to serve the citizens of Columbia, the citizens of the 5th Ward. I am humbled by the support of the citizens of the 5th Ward. And as Nick said, I too will promise to be accountable and accessible, to listen to the individuals in the 5th Ward and the other individuals of the City of Columbia, knowing that what we do here affects everyone in the City of Columbia. Thank you.
Thank you. We have a few appointments that we need to make. So first up is the appointment to the City of Columbia New Century Fund Board. This is historically held by the Oh, never mind, I skipped a thing. Sorry. Gosh, y'all, it's a Friday. I see this. We're now at the point of appointing the mayor pro tem first before the other ones. Andrea Wehner has served as our mayor pro tem for the last year, and this can be done by voice vote. I was going to ask if she was still willing to serve as mayor pro tem, unless anyone else would like to advocate for else. Andrea, would you be willing to continue to serve as the mayor pro tem?
Of course.
Is there any objections to Andrea serving as mayor pro tem? Okay, all those in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Moving on. Now to the other appointments that we get to do. We have for the City of Columbia New Century Incorporated Fund, it's traditionally held by the mayor. I currently serve in this and I'm willing to continue on. Is there any objection to that?
Not objection.
All those in favor? Oh, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Up next, we have the appointment for the council liaison to the Community Land Trust Organization Board. This has been held by Pat Fowler for a First Ward representative. I was going to suggest that First Ward representative continue to do it, as all the land trust properties are in the First Ward right now. Is there any objection or concern? All those in favor of Nick Kno serving on the Community Land Trust, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? No. And then that's it. Are there any other items the council wishes to consider? Being none, I want to thank the outgoing council members. We've appreciated your voice and your passion and your dedication to our community. Thank you to our incoming council members. Get ready. There's a lot of things coming up, but we appreciate your service. And to my ongoing council members who serve with me, thank you for showing up. And I really appreciate your hearts and your passion and our staff. Thank you for being here as well and your service. All right. Oh, there is a reception following this in 1A and 1B. I think the food is here. We tried to stall as long as we could so that it could get here in time. So you're welcome. All right. I'm adjourning our meeting. Thank you.